Morning, let's turn in our hymn books to hymn number 517, On Jordan's Stormy Banks I Stand. We'll sing the first, second, and last verses as we stand and sing.
Thank you.
morning, let's take our red book, turn to hymn number 481. This will be our fellowship song. We'll sing the first and second fellowship, and come back on the fifth verse as we stand and sing "Sunlight in My Soul Today." Let's do that fifth verse, okay? I shall see you. See about taking some money.
Yes, sir.
Once a man whom we know as the Son of God hung upon a cruel tree. He suffered pain as no mortal man. He took my place, he did it all for me. When I stepped just inside of those gates of pearl, and the Master's face I see, I will gladly kneel at his nail-scarred feet. Oh, praise the Lord, he did it all for me. He did it all for me. Each drop of blood he shed for even me. When the Savior cried, bowed his head and died, oh, praise the Lord, he did it all for me. He did it all for me. Each drop of blood he shed for even me. When the Savior cried, bowed his head and died, oh, praise the Lord, he did it all for me.
It's an old song, but it has a great message. All right, turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 19. We're still going through the life of Abraham. Now we are going to get into some very, very deep water. I've always tried to have in my mind to preach what's called expositional preaching, to go verse by verse through the Word of God. And I don't pick fights. Okay? I don't pick fights, but if a fight comes, I'm not going to try not to run from it. Now, I'm going to deal with some things this morning that just have to be dealt with. Some things that we need to be reminded of. Okay? So, we'll deal with those things today. I just feel like I have no choice. I just have to deal with it because it's right here, and the Bible is current and true, and it's always on time. It certainly fits with today's newspaper headlines. So we'll talk about some of that in just a moment. Keep in your mind, what's the date? 25th? 28th? Bible school. Is it August 25th? Okay. Vacation Bible School. Now, I've got to get some flyers printed up. Here's what we're going to do. All right, last year, Brother Julius was very kind and sacrificed himself. And if we had 50, that was our number, was it not? 50, we sought for 50. We had 50, what did we have last year? 51, 52 or something. And so Brother Julius took a pie in the face for that. And so we appreciate him sacrificing himself. And it was truly a sacrifice because that pie had pickle juice in it. And he hates pickle juice. So he sacrificed, and I appreciate that. This year, we're going to raise the level. Last year, we wanted 50. This year, let's shoot for 55, because the result is the preacher's going to get bombed with water balloons. Okay? All right. So if we get 55 in Bible school, then I'm going to get it. All right, so I told him I didn't feel good about getting dunked in a tank. Just too much like baptism, I guess. But anyway, but we will do the bombarding of the water balloons. We got to have 55 to get there, okay? So we're going to need to get, those done, Brother Bill. So we'll get those done. Whoever's doing it, let's have it. Let's get it by maybe Wednesday night. We can talk about the details and everything else. But we've kind of worked some of that out. Miss Pam and Miss Kelly going to be taking care of the crafts. We'll have crafts. And then Miss Nancy and some of the ladies take care of refreshments. And we're doing the chalk talk and the drawings and the missionary story. And so we're going to have a lot of things. We'll have some kind of bouncy toy available for the young people. So we're going to have a good day that day. And so just keep that in mind, please. So, like I say, I think we talked about the fact that if we do have 55, we'd have 55. I think we said that we have 55 people. Everybody get a shot at the preacher. Okay, we'll have to have 55 water balloons. And let's take it from there. Okay, so you say, well, that's kind of crazy. There's nothing too big a price to pay for the souls of men, women, and children. Keep that in mind. We need to do that. We try to reach people for Jesus. That's what it takes us. If getting waterlogged to get somebody to church and get them saved, now you can waterlog me all day. It's okay. That's the way we need to take it. Sometimes we take ourselves too seriously. Have fun in Jesus, the right kind of fun. That's one of the criticisms that we get as Christians. Y'all don't have fun. I like to go out and get drunk and do this. That's not fun. At least the next morning when you're up throwing up in the commode, that's not fun. But it is fun when you have good, clean fun in Jesus. So keep that in mind and let's pray for the Bible school. Okay, we're going to call it Back to School Kids Bible Blast. Well, school will already be started, but you'll be surprised. There's some people that'll, even though school started, they still want to do something. You still want to have a good time. So, anyway, keep those things in mind. We'll get the flyers together and start pushing, promoting, and praying for our Bible school. Okay? All right. Genesis chapter 19. Interesting, because we've been going through the life of Abraham. What I'm going to deal with today, it's just like it is so current. The Bible is as current as a newspaper because there are things all in the paper that we're going to talk about this morning in relationship to the events of chapter 19. Now, last Sunday morning, we talked about Abraham being a prayer warrior, an intercessory prayer warrior, that he was praying for a wicked nation. He was praying for Sodom. And we went over last week how that he went before the Lord in humility. And he said, Lord, would you spare the city if there are 50 righteous, 45 righteous, 40 righteous, 30 righteous? Would you do it for 10? And the Lord said, every time, yes, I'll do it. But isn't it sad that in a place as wicked as Sodom and Gomorrah, there could not even be found 10 righteous people? Think of the impact of that. Now, if that took place in the first book of the Bible, should we be surprised at what's going on right now? I don't think so. I don't think we should be surprised at all what's going on. So we're going to deal with that in just a minute. I'm going to tell you, I'm just going to be very plain this morning because this type of thing, I'm not going to preach every week on, but when it's here in the Bible, we've got to deal with it. So anyway, we're going to talk about some things. Verse 1, and there came two angels to Sodom and Eve. These were two angels that came in chapter 18 and gave the message to Sarah and Abraham to confirm the message of the birth of Isaac. They came for two reasons. Number one, to deliver the message of hope for Sarah and Abraham, and then to bring a message of judgment for Sodom and Gomorrah. There came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. Now, what does that mean? That meant that he was one of the aldermen. He sat there. When you came into a city, if you remember the book of Ruth, do you remember when Boaz went into the city and met those at the gate, and he put forth the challenge concerning a near kinsman, and he said, you know, if you are the near kinsman, then you need to redeem it by marrying Ruth. And then the true kinsman said, I can't do that. He said, because that would mar mine own inheritance. And he said, let all, and basically what he said, let the aldermen at the gate be witnesses to the fact that I am putting a claim on marrying Ruth and taking the inheritance of Elimelech. Okay, so this is the same principle here. These were judges. These were the town council. These were the committee members that when you came into town, these were the first people that you met. Well, Lot is sitting there at the gate of customs, if you will, and it says he sees them and rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, "Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house." There were no Motel 6s. So if you were going to stay with somebody, you'd have to stay with somebody in the town. Did you notice that very quickly he says, "Come stay with us"? There is a reason. "Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go your ways." And they said, "Nay, but we will abide in the street all night." And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered unto the house. And he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, "Where are the men?" See that? "Where are the men which came into thee to this night?" Somebody was watching. Don't think people don't watch us. They do. They listen. "Bring them out to us that we may know them." That means the Bible talked about how that Adam went unto Eve and knew her. We're talking physical sexual relations. Verse 6, "And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren," see what he calls them, "brethren, do not so wickedly." Look at verse 8. This makes you sick at your stomach. "Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. They are virgins. Let me, I pray you, bring them out to you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes." Can I just be just graphic here and say this, Brother Bill? Would you were in that place, take your daughter and give your daughter to a bunch of people in a city to do what? Soever they think is right. He did. This stuff can make you sick on your stomach. Say, why did God put that in there? God knows we need to see it. Did God entertain and ordain this? No. We need to see it. "Two daughters which have not known man, let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof." And they said, "Stand back." And they said again, "This one fellow," talking about Lot, "came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge." Do you suppose that these homosexuals were tolerant? Isn't that the word that you hear all the time now? Tolerant. You need to be tolerant. You need to put up with this stuff. Look how critical they are. "You came to be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them?" That doesn't sound like love. It sounds like destruction of human flesh. "Pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou here any besides son-in-law, thy sons, and thy daughters? Whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Father, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts and show us the things that you would show us from the truth of your word. Help us to accept your word and help people today to understand that when they argue, fuss, fight, and do the things that they do, that they're attacking God and none other. So I pray that you'll open our eyes today in Jesus' name. Amen. I said a few minutes ago that we're living in a time in which the Bible is as current as the newspaper. And it's interesting because of the fact that I'm going through the life of Abraham, and it just so happens that the next event that we're dealing with is what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. It's interesting, is it not, what's going on right now across America. Isn't it interesting that the people who consider themselves to be tolerant are not? Now, there was a day, you know this as well as I do, there was a day that if a homosexual, they were not called gays. You know what they were called, and I'll not give that terminology. But they were called certain derogatory names, and if it was found out that a man especially was a homosexual back in the day, you know what they did? They went and got a rope, and they'd string them up on a branch, and they'd take justice, if you will, in their own hands, and they'd string them up. If they found out that back in the days when there were children, especially kids, if a teacher was found to be homosexual, not saying that it was right, not saying that it was legal, but have you ever heard of a word called castration? Those things happened because that was considered a very wicked sin. Look where we have come today in 2012. We are living in a frightening day. I heard, and I think I shared with you some weeks ago, I heard a man on the radio talking about how that when he was a Boy Scout, that he had a Boy Scout leader that basically molested him. You wonder why, and people, and the Boy Scouts have taken a very strong stand, and I appreciate the stand they've taken against homosexuality, and they will not let an avowed, professing homosexual be a leader in the Boy Scouts, and to that I say, thank God somebody has got some guts. But I think it's interesting now that we've got somebody else that stood up. And actually, more people are standing up that need to stand up and say, we cannot allow this to take place anymore. You have seen, no doubt, those of you that are on Facebook, it's been bombarded all over Facebook. Some of you may not know this, but there's been a movement started largely by Senator Mike Huckabee in saying that on Wednesday, August the 1st, this first Wednesday, this one coming up, he is asking all Christians, or at least all professors of a man-woman relationship, to go to Chick-fil-A this Wednesday and buy something and just show your support. Why? Because they asked Mr. Dan Cathy, who is the son of the founder of Chick-fil-A, what their stand is concerning the words homosexual, I don't guess were brought out. But they said, you know, well, what are we going to, you know, what's your position, whatever. And he said they believe in the traditional family values of a man and a woman as being a home or a family. If you have followed the news on this, you have seen the outrage that has come from people who claim to be tolerant. One person that has made the news is the mayor of Chicago. And the mayor of Chicago has said that he will do what he can, if at all possible, to stop any Chick-fil-A from being set up in the Chicago area. Now, we're not talking about here an issue of the traditional marriage or same-sex marriage or whatever. What we're talking about in that case is the hurting of an economy, hurting of people who need jobs.
And so what he's trying to do in reality is he's not really trying to stop the issue of the same-sex marriage deal as much as he is hurting the progress of bringing in viable businesses to help the Chicago area. Last time I checked, I don't think we as a nation are in a very great plurality of jobs. Why would you want to say to a moral group that has a standard, why would you say we don't want you in our city unless in your own deep recesses of your heart and mind there's something going on? You yourself are attacking something that is not only moral, not only upright, and not only as a standard, but also is backed up by the Bible. That tells me something about neighbor issue. Chicago is like many major cities that is full of wickedness and sin. And when I see somebody that wants to cater and say, we would rather cater to Sodom and Gomorrah, I think if I were a person who lived in Chicago, I would want to get rid of that immediately. Because that's not the person that I want to have emulated as a role model for my children. See, as you look at this story, you see so many things in this story that's just like what you see right now. Let me illustrate some of those points. You have here, okay, one thing we need to look at is Lot himself. What happens to a Christian? You say, was Lot a Christian? The New Testament says that he was. Peter's talked about Lot having his righteous soul vexed, which leads me to believe by the teachings of the Word of God that we would call him a professing Christian. But you know what he did? He went into Sodom and Gomorrah. We've studied that some weeks ago. And he goes into Sodom and Gomorrah, and you know what? His wife, his children, I mean, it was just like, okay, here we are, and we're going in, and we're going to get into this thing. You say, well, how do you know that? I know that because the Bible said in those first verses that he is the equivalent of an alderman. He is a leader. You hear that? He is a leader, just like the mayor of Chicago. He was a leader, and he had to say, oh, well, you know what? Do what you want to do. I will turn my eyes. I will turn my face. I am going to become oblivious to that which is condemned in God's holy word. Be careful, be careful. There was a day, as I said a few minutes ago, that somebody, you didn't go around and say you were a homosexual. It meant termination of job. It may have meant being forced to leave your home because people look and say, oh, he's one of those. Did you notice people don't use this word anymore? Perverts. And I say to you that, and I'm being blunt, and I have to be, did you know that according to the Bible, that a homosexual is a pervert? They don't talk about that. If you want a good book to read, and you enjoy reading good Christian material, I'll tell you a good book on this very subject. It's by Dr. Tim LaHaye. Dr. LaHaye is the one you know that wrote the Left Behind series. He wrote a book called What Everyone Wanted to Know About Homosexuality. I'm going to tell you something. See, when you look at this stuff on television, everybody's happy, everybody's wonderful. Oh, and they're trying to push the button, I've seen on television, maybe you've seen, there's a new show coming out on NBC, and NBC is one of the big proponents of homosexuality. And this new show, I think I've got the title right, somebody correct, I think I saw it's called The New Normal. Have you seen that? And in there, they're introducing this what? To me. That are going to be biological fathers. And they're trying to bring this to the people. Yeah, I'm going to tell you that there's a lot of good stuff on TV. There's a lot of good stuff on the internet and on down the line. But I'm going to tell you, these are the things that has taken and they have taken a generation and has slowly, slowly, slowly perverted it. People would listen to what I'm saying, and what they're saying, and what they're going to say is, oh, well, you're one of those hate preachers. Let's establish a principle. God loves sinners. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But while He loves sinners, He hates sinners. He hates homosexuality. He hates drunkardness. He hates sorcery. You say, well, I don't know anybody that practices sorcery. But if you'll do some research on the word sorcery, the word sorcery goes back to the roots of the word pharmaceutical or drugs. Some of the sorcerers and witches back in Bible times used the equivalent of drugs. But I even go this far. The Bible even talks about in the book of Revelation people that are not going to heaven. You know what one classification that hits every one of us? It said liars are not going into heaven. God hates liars. Book's tough. I saw in the news where, for whatever reason, the Muppets, the Jim Henson Company, they're going to break with Chick-fil-A because they've taken this profane. Why would you do that? Wouldn't you want to have somebody in your corner that is moral and upright? Why would you say that you're going to do that and then you're going to cater to people who, behind closed doors, are perverted? Why would you want to do that? Hey, why did Lot want to be a governmental official in such a wicked city when you look at his background and his uncle Abram? Why would you do that? Money speaks, doesn't it? No doubt there was money, prestige, and all of those things, and he wanted that, and he got it. And as he sees these angels come in, these angels, I don't know if he knows who these angels are. I think somewhere down the line it is revealed to him that these are angels. And he brings them together and he talks about it. He said, I want you to stay in my house. Even if he did not know that these were angels, listen to this. He knew enough about the Sodomites that he knew he had to give them his house. Because if he let them go to anybody else's house, they'd be waiting. He knew that. People, we are living in a day where people are oblivious to something. They are oblivious to the fact that God in His Word condemns such sin and continues on in that sin, no matter what God says about it. Now, sure enough, the very thing that scared him happened. Knocking on the door. And it's night. That's interesting. Men love what? Rather than, because their deeds are. The sin, have you ever noticed that sodomites, homosexuals, they like what they call the nightlife? You ever noticed that? And they go at nightclubs at 10 and 11 o'clock and stay in those nightclubs and do their heinous acts until about 4 or 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning. They like it dark. They come at dark and they knock on the door and said, send those men out then that we may know them. They are brazen. They are brash. They say, we want you to send those men to us because we are homosexuals and we are going to rape them. Now, I hope you're not thinking I'm too plain of speech here, but I'm going to tell you, they don't mind. They don't mind it one bit. They don't mind taking it and flopping it in your face. I'd love to talk to you, Miss Holly, sometime find out how they flop that thing up in your check, because I haven't talked to you, but I can say they have. Did you see, did you read that they're trying to get, do they have a Chick-fil-A eatery campus? One of the things they're saying, the pro-homosexuals are saying to the campuses to go to the on-campus sites of Chick-fil-A and do a loving in front of them. What wicked perversion. But it's no different than in Bible times, because in the Bible, what did it say? Send them out to us. He said, oh, now, how did this pervert the thinking? There are Christians today. I read it on the computer. I read it on Facebook. Some of you do too. There are, we get up, we say something. Somebody, when I never, did you see what I wrote on yours? They got some crazy stuff. I didn't know on yours. Because you brought up the Chick-fil-A thing. And then some people, and I thought, and I wrote, I don't know where this conversation is going, but all I know is this, that if Christians take a stand, then we get kicked in the teeth, and we're called intolerant, but they can say anything they want and do anything they want, but we're wrong. I want to know why we can't say anything. Last time I checked, we have freedom of speech. And the last time I, and you know what, we don't have to do like Westboro Baptist Church and go around and go over and plague, and I think that's wrong. But I can say that I believe in the traditional home, the traditional marriage, the traditional family. I believe the Bible is plain and clear that homosexuality is wrong. I've seen people that talk about, they say, oh, why did God destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? Does the word sodomy mean anything? Well, people, I've seen people, they'll write, oh, that had nothing to do with it. Well, what deed? Why would God destroy a city for that? You can't prove it otherwise in the Bible. The Bible has to be the final word in all matters of faith and practice. And so here's a man that has been had his thinking so perverted that he has accepted this lifestyle, and it's fine. I understand there are people that say that there are born-again Christian homosexuals. I'm sorry. You cannot accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, and then, but it's just not homosexuality. There are plenty of people that are Christians, and I won't even get into it, but they accept all kinds of sins, but they're saying, oh, I'm a Christian. But here's, either I'm going to accept what's written in this Bible, or I am not. This Bible is right, and I must follow the teachings that are contained in this red leather mat. Something else that you notice here is a city's progressive acceptance of such sin. In other words, gradually he comes in. He's an alderman. He is a leader. They come. And then sadly, there is the distortion. There is a distortion. I want you to follow this thought with me. There is a distortion of right thinking. I don't care what sin it is. Let's stay here just for a minute. There is a distortion of right thinking, because again, sadly, here's the story of a man that says, I have two virgin daughters. So what I'm going to do is, I don't want you to... Now why? Let's think for a second. Why do you think he didn't want to send those men out? Do you think it had anything to do with the morals of the Bible or the right teachings of Scripture? Or do you think it was political? You know, if what's going to be said about our city if we send out these men and word gets around and this wicked thing takes place? So we'll keep it under wraps and we'll do another one. See, I'm not sure we need to send these big kudos up for Lot, because if he's willing to sacrifice his own daughters, then why not just send them in there? Maybe by that time they knew it was an angel. Maybe that they were angels. Or maybe it was just the fact, hey, this is not good business. This is not good politics. Now, I want to read you something. This is political. But in reality, it's not. Perversion reaches everywhere. Have you ever heard, for instance, have you ever heard of the Metropolitan Church? Metropolitan Church has been around for 30 years plus. You know what that is? That's a denomination of homosexual churches. Whenever you see the word Metropolitan Church, that's what it is. Now, let me just, I'm going to show you something. You're going to say, oh, preacher, get out of politics. But I feel like I've got to say it because this really isn't politics. This is the point of what I'm trying to prove. President Obama said this. He said, at a certain point, I've just concluded that for me personally, it is important for me to go ahead and affirm that I think same-sex couples should be able to. In an interview with ABC News, Robin Roberts, the president described his thought process as an evolution that led him to this decision based on conversations with the staff members, openly gay and lesbian service members, and his wife and daughter. Well, we might think that's probably true, but this is what disturbs me. This article is being read out of a publication called Baptist Voice. Listen to this statement. Romney supports gay adoption. Quote, two people, and this is from Mr. Romney, two people of the same gender want to live together, want to have a loving relationship, and even want to adopt a child. In my state, individuals of the same sex were able to adopt children. In my view, that's something which people have the right to do, and call that marriage is a departure from the real world. He has taken a stand on the traditional family value, but he says if a gay couple wants to adopt, that's it. I want to say to you right now that this election coming up, and I take this position on all elections. You know what you're voting for when you vote in the elections? You're voting for the lesser of two evils. Always. Because what I'm saying is, Mr. Romney's position is a little better than Mr. Obama's, but what I'm going to say to you is this. He knows if he took the stand he needed to take, he'd be elected. Because why? Because most of the United States, thanks to television, thanks to the internet, has been so persuading. You even have Christians that say, no, Christians love to be judged by. Bible says to judge the righteous judgment. In other words, if God gives the judgment, that's what you conclude. I think it's interesting how so many of these people use the word tolerance. Oh, you're not tolerant, but they're not tolerant. When the marriage issue came up in North Carolina, boy, did you see on the news how that tore so many people up? Some of us get a kick. We watch professional wrestling and things like that. I used to. I don't really watch it anymore, but it used to be a fellow. There is a fellow there. You see him on professional wrestling. You know what he said when they had just been in North Carolina, down at Greensboro for a wrestling event on a Monday night, and on Tuesday they had the boat down in Greensboro. You know what he came out and said on the boat? I think I told you. He made the statement, for those of you and myself that are Bible believers and believe in traditional family values, he told us to go drink bleach and die. It's not very tolerant. Especially when we're the ones, say we, that go out and pay his salary, pay for those tickets for him to do what he does. Something wrong. Isn't it sad that here's a man that claims to be a Christian and his influence means nothing? There was a day in which we as Christians had a say in the community. Now we are being drugged through the slime. I can't tell you what to do, but I'd like to suggest that you do this. It's your business. But I tell you, I know where I'm going to eat. Get a chicken sandwich. Because I want to be able to say, hey, I appreciate somebody that's willing to take a stand. Did you see in the news where Dr. Billy Graham took a stand? Dr. Graham does not take stands. He took a stand and a bold stand on this very issue. We need to. We've been quiet too long. We've not lost this thing. Now there's a tolerance and there's a progressive acceptance of sin. And now and it doesn't matter what this Bible says, we are going to do what we want to do, and if God likes it, fine, and if God doesn't like it, He can lump it. But may I say to you that God has the final say. I didn't read this, but let's look over. Look at verse 23. The sun was risen upon the earth when Sodom entered into Zoar, and then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven, and He overthrew those cities and all the plain, and all the inhabitants of the cities, and that which grew upon the ground. People say, oh man, there's no God in heaven. Just hang on. Lot, two daughters, get away. Next verse talks about there was so much Sodom in the heart of his wife that she turned around and looked at it, because that's where her heart was, and you know what happened? She turned into a pillar of salt. All God said He would do, He said, I will spare the city for 10 righteous people. I've not done the research, and I don't know if there's research out there. I'd be curious to know how many people were in Sodom in the morning. It had to be thousands. You can't find 10 born-again believers in a city of thousands of people. That is scary. Now think about some symbolism before I close. Lot and his daughters represent the rapture of the church. Destruction, Sodom and Gomorrah. God will purge this planet. Remember the book of the Revelation? New heavens, new earth. And people think, well, there must not be a God, because if there were a God, this would happen and that would happen. But my Bible says, be not deceived. God is not. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Did you notice that when they were blinded by the angels, those homosexual perverts continued their attack even though they were blind? If I were blind, I'd stop. But they were so perverted by their lust for their perversion that they continued on. And there are people who are blinded, and no matter what happens, they may be spiritually blinded, or they may even be blinded with things like AIDS, venereal disease, that type of thing. They still proceed, and they still go on. Is this thing going to stop? No. Is God asleep? No. Will God enact judgment? I know nobody wants to hear it, but the answer is yes. How did God bring judgment? Careful, listen. Natural disaster. Fire. Brimstone. Yes, it rained from heaven, but still natural disaster. There are people, I believe it. I know that it's not considered politically correct, but I still believe there are people that have venereal disease and AIDS, and God is trying to tell somebody something, and somebody is so blind. Still and they look at you and I who are Bible believers, and you know what they do? They look at us and say, oh, you are just hateful, you're intolerant. And yet, when Christians and moral people try to take a right stand, who does the attack? Not us. I want that homosexual to know Jesus loves them. I want them to know that I love them. I want them to know that Faith Baptist Church loves them. I want them to come in. And I want them to be loved in the biblical sense of the word. And somebody take the scriptures and try to lead them to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. And then let God change their hearts and change their sexual orientation. Because that's only what's going to happen. It's going to have to be God. Jesus is coming in. I'm so convinced that it's not going to be long. I'll tell you why. In 2 weeks, it's number one. There's global chaos all over this world. Did you see in the news where Greece has applied for another financial bailout, and the powers that be globally as far as finances are seriously considering not giving Greece financial help? Do you know why? Because when they gave them financial help last time, they blew their money. When you start hearing of Greek countries like Greece and other nations, I don't know if you've watched much of the Olympics, we've watched some of it, but I noticed something on the news this morning that they're saying the attendance at the Olympics is very poor. Can you imagine what London, England has had to do to put out the money to get ready for the Olympics? And if the people have not come in and have not put out the money, guess who can go in the hole financially? Other countries that have hosted the Olympics have gone down in the tubes financially because it did not bring in what needed to be brought in financially. They're talking about that after the first day of the Olympics. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Economic upheaval. Understand that when the rapture takes place, chapter 6 of the Revelation says that the Antichrist will come as on a white horse and will bring peace for 3.5 years. You know why? Because there will be a global mess. He'll have to straighten out. There's going to be a financial mess. It's going to be here when you and I are taken out. He'll have to come in and straighten it all out. And he straightens it all out globally. Making world. But what's the second thing that's characterized? He says, as they were in Matthew 24, what did the Lord say? He said this. He said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the day of the coming of the Son of Man. As they were drinking and marrying and giving in marriage and on down the line, so shall it be. Utter disrespect for the things of God and the principles and the standards of the Word of God. Are we not there today as far as America's concerned? We are there. It is not going to be long before Jesus comes again. I hope that the things that I've said, I hope that you don't think I've crossed the line. I've tried not to cross the line. I've tried not to get into the world of politics or whatever. Everything that I've told you has been from the standpoint that according to what I read, even in this 19th chapter of Genesis, that when you, whether you're an individual or whether you're a nation, if you give credence to sin, it will affect your thinking and it will affect your actions. Understand, I shared this with my Sunday school class this morning, whatever goes on here will find its way out. Shared this thought. Have you Nobody that I know of has ever been walking down the street and here's a bank and they walk in and say, you know what, I need some money, I'm going to go steal some money. So they walk inside the bank, and when they walk inside the bank, they say, I'm going to rob this bank. And the fellow looks and says, where's your gun? He said, well, no, I don't have one. He said, well, why don't you have a mask on your face? We can identify you. He said, you don't understand. I just thought this thing out 5 minutes ago. That'd be right stupid, wouldn't it? But if you premeditate in your heart, in your mind, after a while, it will be done. I don't know why that young man did what he did up in Colorado. I have no idea. And there's a lot of people never going to know. But I can tell you this, he didn't do that thing overnight. He planned that thing. Even so much so that he had wiring in his apartment so that when the police would go in there to check after, I guess he thought maybe he was going to get killed or something. I don't know. But he had that thing all ready to go to blow that whole place up. Something right. But I tell you this, he thought it out first. Whatever he thought in his mind probably went down on pencil and paper and then went into action. Finally, God had all he could deal with, if I may use that terminology, and he sent those angels. He gave a nation an opportunity to repent, and that nation did not do so. Three people, I'm not counting Lot's wife, because Lot's wife turned her head and looked back at Sodom, and Sodom was still in her heart, and she died as far as becoming a pillar of salt. So basically, two daughters and a father, and you know what happened after that. That's another sermon. What happened? Somebody decided, I'm going to take the Word of God, and I'm going to just ignore it, and I'm going to do what I want to do, and if you don't like it, you can lump it, and guess what? God will not be lumped. Let's bow our heads for prayer, please. There are those people who say that Sodom and Gomorrah was not killed because of sodomy. But you cannot find any place in the Bible that proves otherwise. It was destroyed because of this wicked sin of perversion. And it was so rampant that not even 10 saved people could have been found in a city which probably had a population of several thousand. That scares me. It scares me that you and I are looked upon as villains in this day and time. You and I are looked upon as intolerant. You and I are looked upon as being hate mongers when all we are people who believe the Bible. What do we need to do, preacher? We need to pray for our nation, don't we? Election's coming up. We have to pray for the lesser of two evils. We need the wisdom of God. But don't misunderstand one very important principle. God will put in who He wants to. And that's a whole other area in its own, because I'm praying, this is what I'm praying for concerning our nation. This is what I'm praying for concerning our government and our president. I'm praying for the mercy of God. God have mercy. Do not give America what she deserves. We deserve pretty much what Sodom and Gomorrah got. You've seen in the news where the corn and different fruits and vegetables are being burned either because of the sun and there's no rain, there's drought. Oh, listen, God's trying to get somebody's attention. We need to fall on our face. We need to repent in sackcloth and ashes. And we need to say, oh, God, have mercy on America. And I challenge you to pray. If you haven't been praying or if you haven't seen the need, pray for America. Pray for our country. You say, why, preacher? I'm about out of here. But your children aren't. And your grandchildren aren't. We pray for our country. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we ask you, Lord, to take this message. It's not an encouraging message. It is a message in which we need to wake up and understand that, again, what the great message that Abraham had was prayer. Pray for flesh. And he did everything. And we can do everything that we can do. We can hold up our nation and pray for them. We can pray for our governmental leaders. We can pray for our election coming up. We can pray that we can see the hearts and minds of people turn back to God. Help us, Father, to understand that we may only have two powers at our disposal. The human, the power of the vote, and the spiritual power of prayer. And we understand that the spiritual power of prayer is the most powerful of all weapons. Have mercy, please, on our country. Help us, our Father, to take a stand to do what is right. Give us grace and backbone to do it, because it's not easy in this day and time when you feel like you're being persecuted and accused of being hateful. Speak to us through the Word of God. Help every person, every family, bless and meet every need. Help us to be prayer warriors. Help us to pray again for one another, to pray for the lost, to pray for lost people who have allowed this evil, wicked sin of sodomy to take up so much of their lives and to consume them. We pray for them. And then we pray that you'll have mercy on this nation. Do not give us what we deserve, please, but have mercy on us. Help us, we ask it in Jesus' name. Hymn number
380.
As we stand. Things on your heart before the Lord. I'm thankful, James said, the effectual fervent prayer of righteousness and faith. Anything happens for our great country, our great nation, we've done right here on our knees. Lord, help us. God, have mercy on our nation. God, have mercy. We pray. Abraham prayed. Good fight a battle, he could get those warriors. The warriors that he had in that previous battle we talked about, they weren't any good in this particular warfare. This had to be the warfare of prayer. Thank you.
Our Heavenly Father, we come before your presence this morning. We know that spiritual battles are waged not as we march upon our feet, but as we kneel in prayer. We pray that you will have mercy upon our country. I pray that you will deliver us. I pray for our children and our grandchildren, Father, that have yet to experience the things that we have experienced. And there are many of us that are in this congregation this morning that have seen the good, the bad, and the ugly when it comes to these things. May we pray. May we ask for your continual grace and mercy upon our country. Lord, I thank you that we are a nation that still believes and practices the freedom of worship and preaching the Bible. Those great freedoms could be eroded. I pray that not happen. I pray that we might be able to come and to share the truth of God's Word and not face the persecution that had been faced in other countries. So I pray that you'll have your will and way in the hearts and lives of everyone that came to pray. And Father, they may be those that have a very special request that's burdening their heart. Father, we pray that you'll take charge of each one of those. I pray the will of the Lord be done. Bless us in Jesus' name. And Brother Joseph will come and we'll get ready to have the Lord's tithes and offerings tonight. We go into the third chapter of the book of Acts, still preaching along the themes of Pentecost equals Pentecost. And so we'll be here at 5 o'clock this evening. We'll be looking at the man that was miraculously healed under the ministry of under Peter. And so we'll see what the Lord there. All right. Any announcements we need to make before we pray and receive the offering? Brother Jules, you know, sir. Choir practice in just a few minutes, so those of you in the choir, be sure to stay for that. Have a good day, and we'll see you, Lord willing, tonight.